Hi there, and welcome to Gamer Rage. My name is Jeffrey.
I'm Tanner.
And today we're going to be talking about how we became gamers and why gaming is so important to us as a culture. I'll start it off. I think it's very important to me because my mom was a gamer. When I was a little kid, I would come home from school and, you know, my mom would pick me up and we'd get home and she would set up the Super Nintendo in the living room and we would just play like Super Mario World or Donkey Kong Country. And it was really cool because my mom would show me all these secrets and all these things that I couldn't do by myself. Like in Super Mario World, there's this like hidden exit in one of the Boo houses,
right,
that you have to like fly up to. And I just remember my mom showing me that and I was like, yo, that's so cool. Like, my mom knows video games. That's awesome. And I don't think I would be as heavily invested in like streaming or gaming at all if it weren't for my mom kind of giving me those first few steps when I was a kid. What about you?
So I first picked up a controller when I want to say I might have been 6. I got a PS2.
Okay.
And the first thing I remember, I spent hours, I'm talking hours, okay, on Need for Speed Most Wanted. And then it just kind of branched out from there. Like, of course, when I was really young, I was really into racing games. And I, like,
right,
you know, I wasn't really much of the Call of Duty kind of kid as there is nowadays that are just, you know, spend like 10 hours a day playing, you know, Black Ops or whatever. But that's where I really fell in love, because then you could go into this world, do absolutely whatever you'd like, or live out a story like you're watching a movie, but you're the main character. You get to control the actions. So that's where I really fell in love with playing games as a whole. But as a child, I think I just liked, you know, car go vroom vroom kind of thing.
I understand where you're coming from, though. Like, I was just, honestly, most of the time when I was a kid, I was more interested in watching my mom or my sister play something because they were better than me and they could just get farther. Right. One of my earliest memories is trying to play The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And the first boss, like, you have to climb into the Deku tree and like get down to the bottom, and it's this giant spider.
Okay.
And I there's no way I was older than like 5 years old when I got to this boss, and I started crying because it was so big and so scary to me. I couldn't do it. And my sister walked into the room and she started laughing at me because I couldn't do it. My sister's like 9 years older than me. You know, she was like, oh, I beat that like years ago. Like, you're so slow. Like, you know, pick it up. Come on, you can do it. And it was kind of like this challenge. Like, I had to prove to her that I could do it. So I had to, like, you know, suck up my tears and just get through it. And I was a little baby when I was a kid. Like, everything scared me. The further I got into that game, the worse it got. And there's a point where you have to, like, time travel to the future and everything's destroyed. And you go into, like, the main town and there's zombies everywhere. And even that, like, that was the cutoff point. I was done. I could not play the game past that anymore. I had seen my mom playing Resident Evil, and it was the same zombies to me. I don't want to play Resident Evil. I'm done. And I got so scarred from that it took me over 10 years to finally go back and beat Ocarina of Time, because I was finally old enough and brave enough to do it.
You know, kind of funny story, kind of like... adding on to the whole, like, getting scared by a game. I remember when I was really young, I got this, I had this like Sega collection for the PS2, and it was like 10 like Sega Mega Hits or something, like arcade games, but they were remastered for the graphics of the PS2 at the time.
Cool.
And I remember I played Alien Syndrome as a child, and that scared me. I would shake. I would go back into that game or I would go into the menu of that Sega collection, and I would see Alien Syndrome as one of the options. I'd be like, no, not doing that again. No. Because I just remember, you're stuck in this dark spaceship, and these, like, worm creatures are coming after you, and it's like a top-down shooter. You just have to, like, maneuver yourself. It's very fast-paced, and I could not win for the slightest. I couldn't get past the first level. I couldn't get to the first boss. And I remember when I looked up the first boss, and it was, like, some H.P. Lovecraft-type horror stuff. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm glad I haven't gotten to that point, because I would not be able to sleep. I don't even think I was able to sleep just playing, like, the first level with just the worms.
It's crazy, though. Like, if you go back and you look at some of the games that, you know, kind of shaped where you're at now, and most of the time you see how poorly they've aged. Like right. I feel like even if you went back and you looked at that Alien game now, you'd just be like, it looks dumb. Like, look at these cardboard cutout enemies.
Oh yeah, like I've went back and watched playthroughs of it not that long ago, actually, and graphically, yeah, it's aged. It's aged poorly. Like bad.
There's a lot of that. Personally, I think that any game before, like, the Xbox 360 and, like, PS3 era, if they were trying to do 3D graphics, they're almost an eyesore to look at now.
Almost, yeah. I'm gonna defend that and go back a little bit. And remember when I said that I played a lot of Need for Speed Most Wanted?
Right.
That game, genuinely, I can still go back and watch and like still be kind of impressed for the time. It came out in 2005, and graphically it's like, sure, it's aged, but I mean, it's nearly it's over 15 years old now.
Yeah. I remember, like, playing Need for Speed when I was a kid, but like, I didn't care about the races because I was really bad at them. I just like customizing my car.
This dude took a Honda Civic, made it like blue, and was like, yeah, and then lost every race.
With the flame stickers, and then like, ooh, you get a 77 on it and the racing stripes.
Okay.
You were set to go. That made the car faster.
Honestly, like, going back and looking at graphics, like, if it's like a nostalgic game for me, I'm not gonna care. Like, graphically, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If a good game, it's a good game. Like, it is what it is.
So recently, I got the Uncharted collection on the PS4 because okay. I didn't have a PlayStation 3. I completely skipped out on that generation. So this is my first time getting to experience Uncharted. And when I told one of my friends that, he was like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry you have to experience it this way. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, those games are from like 2006 and we're in 2021. They're going to look horrible now. And I was playing through them. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. These games look fantastic. Like, they seem like they've aged so well. And it just... It's crazy to me to think of how much of a culture shock there is for people when it comes to graphics make a game good.
When did the first Uncharted come out?
I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was the launch title for the PlayStation 3. So it would have been like 2006. Oh, so like,
yeah. Well, hey, I mean, you can look at my favorite game of all time, Halo 3. It still looks fantastic. Cutscenes are kind of like iffy, like they're a little bit janky. Facial like movements and mouth movements are kind of weird. But actual gameplay-wise, It looks pristine. It is clean as hell. Like, it's good.
I think there's definitely a lot to be said there. And when it comes to a lot of older video games, you really have to separate the way that the game looks to how the game plays or how the game feels.
Yeah.
A really good comparison for that, along with Halo 3, is another competitive game that I'm sure a lot of people look at now and think, like, this looks like doo-doo. Super Smash Bros. Melee, which came out in 2001, and it's still played at every major fighting game tournament today because of how well the game holds up after 20 years. I think I was 7 or 8 when I got Melee, so I think this was 2005-ish. And the game was still kind of new at that point. Super Smash Bros. Brawl wasn't even close to being announced. And it was such an amazing game for me. I sunk hundreds of hours on it when I was a kid. But trying to go back to it now after three more Smash Bros. Releases, it's really rough. Even with just the difference in controls from Melee to Smash Bros. Ultimate, it's a completely different game, and it feels foreign to me now after hundreds of hours of other games. And it's weird to think about, you know. Nostalgia can only hold up for so long.
I mean, yeah. So which one would you find easier? Like, would you find that Ultimate is easier just because, like, you've been playing that for the last couple months or years, and then going back to Melee, which you said is it controls a lot different. So which one would you find to be easier?
I think if I were a blank slate and I were just trying to pick up one of those games, I think Ultimate has an easier level of entry, mostly because it's got more modern game design elements to it that kind of make it like an easier pick up and play game, as opposed to Melee that had a lot of conditional elements for every fighter that you had.
Right. So, well, I guess we can agree that graphics aren't what makes a game.
Absolutely not.
No. So, I guess that'll do it for us for today. So, thanks for tuning in.
And if you have any questions, feel free to tweet at us at CKDJ1079 on Twitter, or the same at on Instagram.
And for Gamer Rage, I'm Tanner.
And I'm Jeffrey.
And we'll see you all next time.